everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Vile Files Bachelorette Recap Edition. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about. The wonderful Elizabeth Wagmeister returns. I don't know how many times you've been with us now, but now it's like you friend of show.
I think so. Friend of show.
At least a hat trick.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe a fourth.
At least a trick.
At least it definitely. Either way, welcome back.
Happy to be back.
And we love to have you. Allie and Amanda are both with us as well, as always. Hopefully, as always.
Forever.
For now.
Watch out.
For now. What an episode. I think this is my favorite episode so far.
Absolutely.
Agree.
Like, first two episodes, I was like, hey, there's two bachelorettes. We don't know what to do. And we were all like, we'll figure it out because nothing's been happening. And then last week, you know, certainly a lot happened. But like really at the expense of Gabby and Rachel, not that that has ended, but there seems to be at least more to talk about, more to break down, more to discuss.
Some like real group dates also.
Yeah, real. So it was a meatier episode. I felt like, you know, we have something to work with here.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. I feel like there's those episodes where not a lot happens and then there's one thing at the end. And then there's the episodes where like every moment.
Yeah.
You're kind of like mad at your TV.
Yeah.
And that was this episode for me.
Yeah, which was great.
It's the best.
Before we get into it, do we have any notable bachelor
gossip? Yeah. Some little bachelor tea to catch
everyone
up.
Who wants attention?
Me. Thank you for coming. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the Tyler Cameron, Matt James, Rachel Kirkconnell of it all.
It seems to be popping up a lot.
It popped up a little bit more because, you know, back in the day, I believe it was Matt who made a comment that, you know, sometimes Tyler and Rachel kind of butted heads and people were all, you know,
I think he
up in arms about
that. He said like there's a love-hate relationship.
Love-hate, correct. Yeah. That was the phrase.
Which is a unique choice of words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not great. To say about your friend, but
so people were kind of discussing that and what it meant, but it kind of died back down. Tyler Cameron has been doing a bunch of interviews lately, and some of the questions he's been asked is
he promoting anything in particular?
He did that jewelry line with Kristen Cavalieri,
but he was just like basically the model for that. It's not his line, but anyway, he's doing a lot of press.
Okay, yeah, so. He's been getting asked questions of, you know, are you still friends with Matt James? Because we haven't seen a lot of posts between them. You know, obviously Matt and Rachel moved out of New York City, so that could be part of that. And they started asking him, you know, what is this Rachel Kirkconnell drama? You know, what is this love-hate relationship? And so Tyler actually told Us Weekly, quote, I was definitely going through my own shit. We just have our own ways of clashing. I don't like listening to people sometimes, and she's strong and she has a really good opinion on a lot of things. And sometimes I don't want to hear it.
I don't know if it was that interview or something else. I remember seeing something where he kind of jokingly said, there's love to the love-hate relationship. They used to hang out all the time. Maybe the most famous friendship from this space. So famous that
Matt became the bachelor.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, they have not made someone the lead of the show without having previously gone on the show. And obviously there were like other factors at play, but nevertheless, this friendship was so popular that the people in charge felt like, hey, we can cast this guy as our next lead.
Like he was so known among Bachelor Nation that they cast him as a lead.
That's like significant.
Yes, it is.
People are also busy. So they could easily, we were talking before about another story, the no response to a non-story is always
the best response.
The best response. But they have their own lives. So they could, either of them, both could be like, I know it looks crazy, but like we're just really busy. But obviously, he'll always be my guy. That is not what either of them are saying. And my question to the room is what is the thing that Tyler just doesn't want to hear about?
Yeah, it doesn't want to listen to, doesn't want to
hear. What's the quote? How's it end?
She's strong and she has a really good opinion on a lot of things. And sometimes I don't want to hear it.
So what are the things that Tyler doesn't want to hear?
Yeah, is she talking about maybe the people he's dating, lifestyle?
My opinion is like he doesn't want to hear her opinion on his dating choices.
Yeah.
The thing that's really interesting, though, to piggyback off of what you said, Nick, is that is a statement that opens up a lot of questions, mm-hmm. where he literally could just say, if there wasn't an issue, he could be like, everyone's making a big deal out of this. Like, we'll always be good friends.
Well, the love, you know, hate just let it open up a bunch of questions.
Like, he's enjoying
too.
His fiance. Right. They're traveling the world. I got my stuff going on. There's literally nothing there. We're ride or dies.
Right. So I'm.
And I would have been like, yeah, totally. People are busy. Like, they were never going to be college roommates forever.
They're not presenting a unified front. Or like, Tyler Cameron is not presenting a unified front with Rachel and Matt.
No, they're trying. Right. It's like, how I see it is they're trying to like keep the appearances of the friendship, but also trying to win the breakup in case they have to.
Mm.
That's how it comes across.
It's like laying the groundwork to take a side.
Yeah, it's just like...
Yeah.
I'll say at this point, now I believe that there is a feud just because of what they're saying.
The love-hate, yeah.
Yes. Where I admittedly do not follow this stuff closely, like day by day, but mm-hmm. obviously since I'm admittedly obsessed with The Bachelor, people always DM me, friends in my normal life will be like, do you know what's going on with this? And this one, I actually found out. I will give a shout out to my friend Allie. She's gonna die that she got a shout out on your podcast, Nick. But
shout
she was
to Allie.
Yeah, shout out to Allie. She was like, do you know what's going on with Matt James and Tyler Cameron? And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I hadn't heard about it. This was mm-hmm. a little bit ago. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, they're friends. This is just drama. But now Tyler's statement makes me believe it.
Yeah, he could have just taken the high road
and
said, everything's fine, we're just busy. But he didn't.
Well, I'm curious, like, for the room, either, what are things that your, like, girlfriend has called your friends on, or that you have called your, like, boyfriend's friends on? Like, what are the kinds of things that live in that territory? Like, do you think it is dating stuff? Like, what kinds of things do you feel like girlfriends of boys are most likely to, like, chime in on?
Fuckboy behavior?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what's going on, but that would be the obvious answer. You know, think about it. Like, you got two attractive men who are friends who go out often sought out. Like, this is like a tale as old as time. One of them gets a girlfriend. He falls in love. They spend a lot of time together. The other friend is still like living the single life, not doing anything, you know, but like, and that person starts being a little more frustrated, and maybe insecure, because it's like, well, when you're hanging out with Eric's always like surrounded by single women, and they're always approaching him, and like and that can be frustrating. That, and then so that person is, you know, maybe in the nicest possible way, because I've ever heard about Rachel Kirkconnell, like, minus all that other stuff she went through, but for the people who have met her, I've never met her. That's only one thing I hear. It's just how nice she is. That's all I've ever heard. She's sweet. She's nice. That's it. Now, there's, I'm sure, a lot more to her, but that's all I've ever heard.
I also think, like, given all the drama that happened, I do think that Matt and Rachel are one of, at least at this point, one of the strongest love stories to come from Bachelor, because—
Like, ever or recently?
Well, I guess in recent history, but think of everything they went against, and they were like, they clearly want
but
to be together.
But I think it's also interesting too, because Matt has said, like, even in his book, all of that after the final rose stuff, he said they left there hand in hand. Like, what we saw as America wasn't necessarily what was actually happening.
Wait, but did he kind of admit that it was a bit performative? Because
he said,
they were
what
both under
saw,
an immense amount of pressure.
What we saw on that screen was they were done. I haven't read his book, but I've heard the quote, we left there hand in hand.
They were under immense amount of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine being in their shoes for AFR.
But do you feel like some of the tension is coming from the fact, like, you know, Matt and Tyler have been friends for a long time, and I get that Rachel and Matt are a strong couple and they've now been together for a while, but if I was Tyler and suddenly there's this new girl coming in, like, telling me her opinions or kind of, you know, judging my lifestyle, whether or not I'm in a fuckboy stage, I'd be like, hey, like, got here.
I don't,
like,
fault. I mean, I'm not picking a side. If I'm Tyler, I could see getting annoyed if my buddy started dating someone who was critical of me, like, just dating around, and who knows what's going on. Maybe
critical,
like,
of anything, honestly. Yeah, like, doesn't matter what she's.
It could be, we don't know. Like, maybe it's an insecurity that Rachel has. Maybe it's justifiable. We don't really know. Mm-hmm. I could see how both sides are taking it. It's a very common like relationship dynamic that has happened among friends. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is not an uncommon thing. Is there other aspects to the story that we're not hearing about? I don't know. But like, I think it's an interesting statement.
Yeah. And I also think like the fuckboy theory, very possible, very likely. But also to answer your question, like what are things that people might typically get upset about? I think not even just like girl to boy, but like anyone who sees a friend dating someone who they might perceive is not the best for them, that's when you raise concerns. Mm-hmm. So for whatever we know, it could be coming from both sides. You know, oftentimes you don't say anything because you don't want to ruin a friendship, but there could be one thing said that just
set it off. Tyler is just like dating around as he has a right to do. And pretty girl after pretty girl. And then Rachel sees Mads and she's like, oh, another new girl, you know?
Right.
Even something as like harmless as that, if I'm Tyler, I'd be like frustrated. Oh, I wouldn't want to hear that over and over. And like, if I'm in Rachel's shoes, you know, it's not her place, but like, I could see why she might feel that way, you know? And I have no idea the choices these people are making and who, if they have a right to be critical, but it seems like that's what might be going on. Babel. Well, I was in Paris and it was useful. I'll tell you that. And it goes a long way in Paris. If you just try to speak the language of
the people,
they can be very pleasant.
Because there's nothing worse than being the person Bonjour. Who comes in and is like, do you speak English?
Merci beaucoup.
Yeah.
Look at him. You. A Babel alum.
With Babbel, you only need 10 minutes to complete a lesson. 10 minutes. You do that in your Uber to your restaurant with any country that you might be in that doesn't speak your native tongue. You can start having real conversations in a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Other language apps use AI for their lessons plans, but not Babbel. Babbel was created by 150 language experts. Their teaching methods have been scientifically proven to be effective. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian and German. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. There are so many ways to learn with Babbel. In addition to lessons, you can access podcasts, games, videos, stories, and even live classes. Plus, it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. 20-day money, I mean, in 20 days, you can probably learn a new, you're close to learning a new language.
Mm-hmm.
Start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. And like I said, what's so great about it, it's so convenient when you're on the road and travel. And if you're not like up to like learning, you know, getting fluent with a whole new language, it can just help you get around and just be less confused. And again, like, you know, ingrain yourself with the culture that you're in. It's always a slightly better experience when you at least try to speak whatever they're speaking. Right now, save up to 60%. 60%. Of your subscription.
It's basically free.
It's basically free. When you go to babbel.com/VIALL, that is Babbel, BABBEL.com/VIALL for up to 60% off your subscription. Babbel, language for life.
I also feel like, again, we've talked about, you know, now that Matt and Rachel have moved to Florida, that's caused some like tension and distance. They don't live together anymore. They're not spending all this time together. But I also remember, speaking of Matt's book, I never saw a photo of the two of them there together.
Two of who? Tyler and Matt?
Matt and Tyler. So I'm like, was that either a sign that...
What do you mean his book?
His book release party, when he was releasing that. Like, and so I'm like, was that a sign that they were either at that point already like kind of distanced and doing their own thing? Or was that also like kind of, you know, a nail in the coffin?
You don't think Tyler went to Matt's book party?
I never saw a photo of him there.
Interesting.
And I noticed that because I was like, this is like... That would be significant. His bro's big thing, yeah.
Totally.
So if he's not feeling that support in that way, or maybe Rachel gets protective of Matt and then it comes through other avenues.
Maybe Matt doesn't feel like Tyler's being a good friend and Rachel is just like standing up for her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like once you have that dynamic where like one person feels pushed out and then they're like, well, arms crossed, like I don't like spending time with you and your girlfriend anyway. So then it just like furthers this distance between them.
Yeah. Well, there's clearly something going on, and I feel like at this point, either they should just talk about it or both parties should stop saying
it's
cryptic.
It's the little, it's the cryptic, but still giving us little nuggets where it's like, okay, well, now we have to talk about it.
They're like, you know, there's nothing going on. We're still best friends, but like also they annoy the fuck out of her, you know?
Yeah. It's either like talk about it or stop talking about it, but don't do this middle area, which then
allows us to guess.
Yeah. And Nick at the beginning of this with Bachelor T was like, who wants attention? And this seems like what they want.
Well, we've gotten into it the past few weeks. But because we try to have this, like, we don't like to promote hearsay because like, who knows? But if my peers talk about it or post about it, it's fair game for us to discuss and deliberate.
This is an on-the-record statement from Tyler Cameron.
So, like,
we're dissecting that statement.
Because both camps could easily just say, we're just incredibly busy, lots of love there, we're rooting for each other's success. Mm-hmm. It's just like, we went from living together and posting all the time to just like, and that's such a believable answer.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Like, I have my dearest friends, I see twice a year. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we got shit going on.
Right. And like the book party thing, like, I've missed friends' bachelorette parties and like really significant life events, like wedding events, because you're just busy and you can't get on a plane and fly somewhere. So him missing the book party on one end of the spectrum.
Well, we don't know for sure.
Right. If he missed the book party, which I don't know. It could be you're busy and it's nothing, or it could be a grand statement that you're not there to support him. So,
or maybe it's just like Tyler didn't think anything of it, but Matt was personally offended by it.
So many possibilities.
So many possibilities.
Well, moving on to some other statements we've gotten in the last week. So obviously we know that today's episode for Hayden was not great, but it still wasn't great for last week's episode either. Neither was it for Jacob. Both of them had their discussions with Gabby. Jacob had said that if she was the only person there, he wouldn't have the heart to continue. Hayden called her rough around the edges. So both of them, you know, received some backlash online. They both took to Instagram to talk about it. So I'll talk about Jacob first. He was the one who said, if she was the only person here, I don't think I could have the heart to continue. So he took to Instagram and said, I want to take this moment to apologize to Gabby Windy for not taking into consideration her feelings. What I said was ignorant and not appropriate for the moment. I realize you don't know what someone could be going through or where their headspace is at. Listening instead of explaining would have gone a lot further. And
I just want to point out, real solid apology.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry she felt like ownership.
A plus apology from Jacob.
Agreed.
He named what he did, took accountability. There's not an excuse in there.
And he even took it a step further. So he actually said that he's not spoken to Gabby or hasn't heard anything back. But if he is asked to come to the Men Tell All, he will certainly give an apology in person. I'm sure that will be more genuine than an Instagram post. So he even wants to do it in person.
Really, real exceptional response.
Agreed.
From Jacob.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah. So
on to Hayden.
Yeah.
comparison, Hayden, our good friend, especially after this past episode, said, quote, this is also on Instagram. He said, what a night.
He starts.
Jesus.
With so many emotions going on, I have to say I have an overwhelming amount of respect for Gabby and Rachel. Looking back, I can definitely say I may not be the most eloquent with words at times, but I aimed my heart in the direction of my intentions. Extremely glad Rachel saw me for who I am inside and allowed me to continue the journey with her.
D minus.
Terrible.
Wait, that doesn't even make sense to me.
Like, he didn't even really apologize. Yeah, he just said, I'm not the most eloquent.
But he also...
he basically had an excuse.
Yeah.
But also, when he says, I'm glad that she saw me for who I am, like, this isn't a good thing.
No.
Like,
we saw you for who you are, Hayden.
She didn't like what she saw.
For episode 4.
Yeah, she sent you home.
He didn't see episode 4 yet.
So. That's true. He doesn't know how he...
And keep in mind, like, much of episode 4, what a great transition, as it relates to Hayden, was the show and Meeple like sharing the tea. They had the receipts, of which clearly Hayden didn't realize. One of my favorite things on this show is when people whisper.
Right.
You're mic'd.
It's like you're mic'd. I just like these women are why don't you whisper wrong?
Right.
Yeah.
We hear you.
I also love how I know we're going a bit out of order, but when he's denying what he said to Rachel, it's like, did you forget that there are cameras? Like, exactly. They'll just do a playback.
It's very easy to forget you're mic'd, and it's very easy to forget the cameras, which is how they are able to successfully make these shows, but there's a lack of common sense.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
let's just get into Hayden since, but like, I never, as we always say with this show, I reserve all my real judgment and opinions on any of these people until I meet them in person. Mm-hmm. Just like across the board, like I am not gonna like make an assumption on who these people are based off an edited show. Mm-hmm. That's a microcosm and also like of who they are, and they, the show is notorious for taking the most simplest things and making them like such a big deal. Mm-hmm. That said, with Hayden, I feel like, while I could be wrong because I haven't met him, I think Hayden's that, like, I don't think he respects women as much as other people, like mm-hmm. a Tino, for example. Mm-hmm. You look at like Tino, and like, here's the thing, you know, with Hayden referring to Gabby and Rachel as bitches, I would be willing to guess that Hayden's just like, I was just like joking. Like, I didn't call them bitches. It's like, I was just like, you know, and you know what? Fine. Maybe I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt that you were joking. But like, the fact that you went on a TV show like The Bachelorette, you didn't have with an audience of women, and you're mic'd, and you just like didn't think to have at least the pause, that you were so aloof to the fact of what that might sound like, that you had the confidence to say that anyways, mm-hmm. right? Like, you didn't have that consideration. It wasn't like, you know what I'm saying? It didn't even dawn on him mm-hmm. not to say it.
Right.
You know, he didn't have the consideration. Where Tino, right? Tino's on a date with Rachel. And, you know, it's The Bachelorette, traditionally conservative audience. And Tino, nevertheless, still didn't want to assume that Rachel might not want to have kids someday, mm-hmm. right? And so he just like thoughtfully just like, I'm not going to assume anything about her. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask her questions. I'm going to treat her like an individual that I have a lot to learn about. And Hayden just seems like the guy who, like, I don't know if he has sisters. I don't know if he just seems like a guy who doesn't have any good women role models in his life. Mm-hmm. You know, he just has a bunch of frat boy buddies mm-hmm. who like locker room talk. You know what I'm saying? And like, generally, like, well, I don't think he hates women. I just think he lacks a general overall respect for them mm-hmm. and like the type of like thoughtful consideration one would want from someone going on The Bachelorette.
Right. And also probably isn't cognizant of that. I don't think that
he thinks he's a good guy, and he thinks he got fucked over by the show 100%.
150%. Like, I don't think that he is sitting there being like, I don't respect women. I think that he is, moreover than a lack of respect for women, he has a lack of maturity.
Yeah.
Because to even speak that way, like to refer to women as bitches, like I think about my brother and my boyfriend and like men around me in my life, and like they're not 12-year-olds. You know, they wouldn't talk that way. Like, that's not how you speak.
And specifically yeah. how it was him in bringing up his ex, he was like, she doesn't even hold a kid. Like, he was whipping out the, like, my ex yeah. was hotter thing. Like, he's so clearly insecure in yeah. this setting. Like, he's not getting the attention he felt entitled mm-hmm. to. And now he's very quick to use that to make demeaning comments about Rachel's, like, physical mm-hmm. appearance.
Like, it just seems like, again, don't know him, but he seems like the classic guy who might muster up the courage to hit on someone in public. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go the way he wants, and he gets a little mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, also, okay, so you could see that. And again, we know this is an edited show, but I feel like you saw these moments where he would like
what we saw
switch.
Was not edited. Like, he said this shit.
He
like,
said this totally.
Like,
but I just mean like you see him switch on a dime.
The demeanor.
Like, right? And that's what I mean. We don't know the edit, if that was actually 5 minutes of footage, if it was 5 hours of footage, how quickly did he switch? But you could see internally when he gets upset and feels like someone knocked him, all of a sudden his whole demeanor changed, mm-hmm. which to me is pretty scary because you can't stay calm in the moment and reason.
I think it's also
with people
interesting too, because it's like we watched him, you know, the episode starts, we're like, who's team Gabby, who's team Rachel, and like we see him in the kitchen at first saying, well, I use the word rough around the, that also annoyed me. I'm like, it's a phrase, it's not mm-hmm. a word, but I use the word rough around the edges. And he didn't get the response he really wanted. And then I felt like he kept, and then we see him out by the pool and he's saying, well, bitch, maybe you shouldn't fucking use that word to describe yourself. Like, it just kept.
He didn't quite yes. say it.
No,
like
he
that.
Said, well, bitch, maybe you shouldn't use that fucking word to describe yourself then. That's yeah, a direct did. Quote.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I added
yeah.
the.
Yeah.
There was, bitch.
You added the intensity, I think. You know,
it was like violent.
The transcript yeah. was on point, though.
It was accurate.
That yeah, was, but yeah, because I'd be willing to bet he was just like, I was just like joking with my guys and like whatever. Yeah. But that's yeah. like, for me, it's just more, the lack of self-awareness and the hubris that you had to say that word in the environment in which you said it, I think that speaks to, like, at best, your overall ignorance to the respect that, like, women deserve and that you seem to lack to want to give them. You know, like, it seems like if he ever offers women respect, he thinks he's doing them a favor.
Totally.
Like, it's not a, it's just a general way of life.
Correct. Also, it just everything about him, it's more about him and less about the women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because to even be so defensive and to bring up his ex and make that point of comparison, I feel like he thinks he's hot shit and he's on this show and he's probably thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so cool. Like, to all my friends at home, I'm on this show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he wants to kind of flex and
be character syndrome. Yeah.
Right. Be his frat boy self. And it's not about that. You are
even his final phrase to Rachel at the end of the episode being like, I hear you. I respect you. Like, I'm like, what? So it feels like I'm in a frat basement.
Yeah. And also, no, you don't.
Yeah. Right.
I don't think he respects either of them.
No. Also, can we talk about
the dog?
Yes.
Rambo.
Yeah. First of all, like when, you also, know, whatever. Everyone
Rambo's
has,
alive and well. I checked on him last night on
he's
Instagram.
Alive?
He's still with us.
Good.
Well, okay. All I got to say is, one of two things. Either he embellished the health of Rambo because
he
felt the pressure of Bachelor Nation and the sad stories that are required. All I heard was, you don't love your dog. You know, he told a sad story about, like, my dog is, like, his head's caved in. He's got some brain tumor. He's got maybe a year to live. And I'm sorry. Like, and I say this as someone, like, recently, like, in the past, you know, I got Jeff. I have this newfound love for, like, but, like, before I got Jeff, I might not have felt this way. But, like, if Jeff was dying, I wouldn't leave him for, like, maybe 9 weeks. Like,
right.
I would, like, you know what? I would say to, like, call me in a year, but like right now, and then like I'll have a sad story. But like, I'm sorry, you don't get to use the health of your dog if you're willing to abandon them.
Totally. That's such a good point. And I didn't think about that, and I am such a dog person. Hamilton, the Wagmeister family dog, is my brother. And yes, if Hamilton were sick, I would never leave. Never. But okay, so I...
Because he made it seem like that, like, he could get a call at any moment and be like, Rambo's dead.
Right.
And I understand him going on the show if his like, hey, like, at the end of the day, like, he's got a good year left. He's going to be fine. He's not suffering. But he played it up to a degree that made him, like, he overplayed his hand to the point where I'm just like, well, now I just think you're an asshole for leaving your dog.
Right. You're like, so now you're an asshole to women and your dog.
You know?
That is like cardinal sin.
All the bitches.
Yeah. Oh my God. Nick, I have a question for you. So I was actually, as I was watching, I was like, I'm so excited to ask Nick because, and as you always say, people are always very curious about what's real and what's edited. So obviously Hayden brought this book about Rambo. Like, that was him. He brought that to the show.
Oh, yeah.
But I always say the Bachelor producers, they deserve an Emmy for some of this work because you had him referring to the women as bitches. Then you have him talking about his ex. Like, he is starting to get the villain treatment, right? And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he pulls out this book and it felt so disjointed.
I didn't get a good look at the book. Well, my guess is that it was not the producers.
You think he just carried this book with him?
Yeah, I think it's more believable that a guy going on the show had, you know, friends, and he thought he did some homework, and he's like, my dog's sick. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use this as my
sob story.
I've had a privileged life that hasn't faced a lot of adversity, you know. I got rich parents. I went to a rich college.
Leisure executive.
Yeah,
my whole life is literally leisure.
You know, I find that more believable than like the producers feeling the need to like scramble and like set them up with a. They don't usually do that. If someone's really falling in love, and towards the end of the season, they might say, "Hey, man, like you should write a nice note."
Mm-hmm.
That's on it. Like, they're not really. I do think they get too much credit for perceived manipulation in some of these aspects. Like, again, they're either like throwing out helpful suggestions to make these people seem more romantic and thoughtful than they otherwise might be. And part of it is just because maybe they're nervous and they're just like, you know, there's a lot going on in their head. Or what they do is maximize a feeling you're feeling. So if you're mad or angry or feeling petty, they will not stifle that. They will encourage it. They will play into it. They're not creating things, but they are maximizing it. There's no like, go sit in the corner and think about it and maybe you'll feel it differently. Write a note, sit on it. And like, no, that's like, how do you feel in this moment right now? I want to hear it.
Right.
You know, but I don't think they would go out of their way to like set them up that way.
Okay. So I guess
could be wrong.
But to clarify, because I agree with you totally. Like, I think he brought this book on his own. And like you said, probably was at home and realize I need some sort of like
that was like a Shutterfly pre-made
So I agree, he brought that on his own. What I'm saying is we saw him kind of starting to emerge as the villain, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere he whips out this book. So I'm like, did the producer say like, hey, maybe you haven't shown her the book yet? That's what I'm saying. Like,
That probably happened.
I was watching and I'm like, where did this, like, we went from A to B with no transition.
And it's like, you know, he wanted to whip that out on a one-on-one. And like, and then it was like, oh fuck, I might be going home. So like, this is a cocktail party, like Hail Mary.
And it was probably more like, maybe he went to one of the producers and be like, hey, I got this book. And they were probably like, yeah, you should probably, I would show her now. You know, for sure.
Like, you need help right now. So bring out, whip out that book.
You know, they definitely have a sense of like the stuff, like how, like who's the favorites. And like, they try, you know, as opposed to like, if they think that Hayden was going to get a one-on-one, they might say, why don't you just wait? You know, like, you don't need it. They want everyone to get their story out depending on, you know, when they have time. And so that they're just kind of managing it that way. Part of that is just like, they're trying to put a puzzle together. It's less more Machiavellian and more just like, you know, we need save that because you'll, you know, I'm not going to tell you you're going to get a one-on-one.
Right.
But like, I don't know if a group date's the place to do that. But with Hayden, it's just like, you're going home. Right. So
we got
to
get that book out sometime.
Get that book out. And again, it's, they're not telling him to. Clearly he thought it was a good idea. He brought the book. And they gassed him up a little bit and gave him a little too much confidence and what that book might do.
And that exit, oh my gosh. I mean, I kind of felt bad for him for a moment.
It reminded me of...
Only just because he looked like a fool.
Like when Rachel
pulled him aside, though, and said, basically, like, do you know why I pulled you? That's awesome. Like a parent or a teacher moment right there. Like when you were little and you'd like have to like think back on your actions. And he goes, well, I assume it's about Rambo.
I loved how she was like, no, it's not about the dog. Like,
about the dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love how
she handled that so well. She's like,
the dog?
Yeah. She's like, what are you talking about? She's like, I don't care about the dog. And I'm really, and I want to say, because we don't want to get hate here. We're clearly all dog lovers. And I was really, like, I felt upset because I'm like, oh my gosh, I hate that he's using this dog as a pawn because I hope the dog's okay. But this has nothing to do with Rachel or anything.
Dogs are like, you know, if you're an owner of the dog, there's an expectation of like loving your dog to the point where you wouldn't abandon them. Yeah, I don't think Rachel is expected. I think her response was appropriate. And the fact that she was like, the dog.
She's like, I'm here to find my husband, not to talk about your dog after.
Who you shouldn't have left.
Who you shouldn't have left. Yes, after. You degraded me and compared me to your ex, and apparently, according to Meatball, said, so.
Can we talk about Meatball getting a second chance? Meatball's suddenly back with us.
The redemption arc.
What? Yes. Am I forgetting what his first chance was?
Meatball was let go at last rose ceremony and then was here at the top of the episode, and he said he's been given a second chance by Rachel. And I don't know if that's because at the end of last episode, Gabby had 9 and Rachel had 8. So maybe they wanted them both to have 9. But he was let go at the last rose ceremony.
And he just was there?
And he was just back.
Yeah, so it
I missed that.
What?
I know he said I got a second chance, but like, I just was like, I don't know. Whatever.
I'm wondering if they wanted them to have equal guys when they boarded the cruise ship.
They're like, oh, can I... Oh, yeah.
Jesse Palmer's French? Is that what you want to talk about?
Oh, my God.
But
obviously.
He's from Canada.
Yeah. I was like, where did you go?
I think he has, I don't know if he's like French Canadian, but I know he's like, he's lived at least in Quebec.
No, my response was in awe. Right. I was like impressed by his.
So there were two, I felt like, misses with like editing, which one is the meatball thing, which it was in a post-credit scene. You like saw him get a second chance, but they didn't explain it. He was just there. And then
But conveniently was the tattletale.
But that's what he said. He was like, I've been given a second chance by Rachel. I can't basically, you know, sit back and watch this guy do this to her. So I think he felt like he had higher standards for himself because he was, you know, he was on the verge of going home and then suddenly was brought back. He felt like he had a duty to Rachel.
He had a job to do.
Yeah.
And he did it.
I just love it because Meatball for me was the guy that I'm like, why is he here? Like, neither of these women are into him. And now I'm like, wow, the redemption arc that no one saw
but
coming.
I also love that Rachel referred to him as James.
Yes.
After he like shared some truth. Mm-hmm. Well, James told me.
Right. Had no idea that Meatball had
a
name.
Before it was Meatball. Like, Meatball told me it just takes the air out of the, like... Well, he's like, well, what did Meatball tell you?
Yeah, right.
So you know, I... Like,
who can believe a meatball?
Like, I spoke to
James,
someone who...
James, you can believe.
Yes.
I spoke to someone who went to high school with him last week. And apparently, maybe his, like, close friends in high school referred to him as Meatball. But the rest of the high school just called him James. So I think he's really...
When
he got to college, it became more of a thing. Like, according to this person I talked to, it became more of a, he wanted it to be more of a nickname as life went on, but he's running with it.
Yeah. Good.
How do you
think? Not my, I wouldn't do it, but like, good for him.
Yeah. Do you think nicknames expire? Like, do you think you hit an age where it's like, you can't have a nickname like Meatball anymore?
Where
it becomes less endearing?
I think it expires.
He's like 84.
I think it expires with the friends that gave you the nickname. Like, talking about like the Tyler and Matt of it all. Like, friendships evolve, they change. I truthfully think like Matt and Tyler will always be friends, but like their friendship probably has changed. And like, as you get older, it's different than it was. And so I think it's weird if you had a nickname like Meatball that was given to you by like a group of friends that like you see a little bit less, and now you've made new friends and you're like, by the way, I'm Meatball, and you like you try to like grandfather this, like, you know, it's like you grandfather this nickname into it, then it's weird.
Yeah. Right.
But if you still are friends with these friends, and like, you know, like I have a friend from back home, we call him Baby Nikki, and then that turned into Baby, and then I realized that like I can't call you Baby in public all the time because I'm always like, hey, baby. But we'd call him Baby Nicky. His name's Nick. He was always like a guy who would just like kind of charmingly would be like, I don't know. Like he'd show up late all the time, but it was like Baby Nicky. So we would just call him a baby because he was kind of a baby about things, but endearingly so. I call him Baby Nicky when I see him once in a while. But like that has...
Yeah.
He's not going around being like, I'm Baby Nicky.
Yeah.
Yeah. People call me Baby. Then it's weird. I think it's weird. I could not have been more wrong about Jason. I'm sorry, Amanda. You were definitely right. I thought Jason was good to hear.
Wait. What was your previous stance?
My stance was great looking guy. Both these women seemed to be physically attracted to him. He was put on this like small group date. They didn't show any of these conversations. He's clearly quiet. And in that world, like hot and quiet gets you sent home unless you're their favorite.
Right.
And now I think Jason wins.
Okay. I
thought he was going to be like sent home like this episode or next. Like, I just thought he would just be one of those guys who showed up and kind of like he had said. I mean, he literally said, I showed up, like, this really isn't for me. I'm very out of my comfort zone. I'm not willing to like give my opinion on every little thing. It's not worth it. He's like an investment banker. It sounds like he's got a life, like he's not banking on his time on The Bachelorette to like, he's just like, he's here for like an experience. But it turns out, I think Gabby's really into him.
Yeah.
You know, when Gabby, after the one-on-one, well, first of all, like, let's just talk about like the fact that like the Paris date, like that's a big deal, right? Like,
and the fact that Rachel gave it to Tino and you know, the two of them were talking before the date. And like, if Rachel says, I'm giving it to Tino, like that's also got in Gabby's mindset, be like, okay, I'm giving it to my ringer.
Right. But you make a good point though. I don't doubt they're close friends. It clearly is a love between them. I think they really are looking out for each other. Mm-hmm. But like the environment is just going to make them competitive.
Yeah.
So if to that point, if Rachel is bringing her clear front runner on this date and she's going to have to like digest it, it would make sense if Gabby's like, well, fuck it. I'm going to bring my front runner. And I've always said the walk around whatever city you're in are always the best dates. They're the most realistic. They allow you the most time to like feel like you're in the real world with this person, as opposed to like some sort of safety meeting mm-hmm. for like a bungee jump. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not, it's not the same type of date, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think the favorites are often on, not always, like, I mean, usually a lot of the favorites are on these like walk around dates. Mm-hmm. Paris, and the fact that it was like, so they're on this cruise. On Andy season, we went Marseille, France was one of our destinations. And I remember Andy telling me, because like usually the lead will fly on their own, and usually maybe like a day early, they'll get there and then the guys will follow our different flights, or everyone's flying on different flights. And we flew into like, I think Munich as a layover, and I went to Marseille. But and I remember Andy telling me that they went a day early and they just spent the day, like her and some of her producers, just like, hey, let's just go to Paris for a day mm-hmm. on an off day. So I wouldn't be shocked if they were like, oh, we have two bachelorettes, we need an extra date. Like we need more dates. Mm-hmm. So like, fuck it. Let's just like grab these two guys. Everyone else is going to follow. And we'll just like fucking walk around Paris and make mm-hmm. a date out of it. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like that's probably what they did. And what a, like, oh my God. I mean, I was just in Paris. Yeah. Like, it truly is a romantic, beautiful mm-hmm. city. It's like, it's so beautiful and romantic. And mm-hmm. to walk around for a day is, I would think, the best date you could have on The Bachelor, Bachelorette is walking around Paris.
Absolutely. By the way, I saw photos from your Paris trip. It looked amazing.
It was wonderful, yeah.
I was there this summer too. And it like walking around, as I was watching this, I was saying exactly what you're saying, which is this is a realistic, I mean, not realistic just to go to Paris any day, but realistic in the sense that you're eating crepes and you're drinking wine and you're walking around. And like that is a perfect date. And also, fun fact, I don't know if you guys know this, but the very first season of The Bachelor back in 2002, I learned this from, I interviewed a lot of the executives for a 20-year anniversary piece that we did in Variety. And the very first season, the proposal was supposed to be at the Eiffel Tower.
Really?
And because of 9/11 and security measures, they couldn't travel. So they weren't able to go to Paris. But that was like the whole pitch for the first season of the show, like, was it ends up with a proposal
at
Eiffel
Tower.
That was
like their storyboard. Is there a
exactly.
pitch?
Oh, wow. Yeah. And now I'm also wondering, as I was watching it, I was thinking this, with COVID, obviously, they were in a bubble for a handful of seasons. And this is really the first season that they can travel with still precautions, but not many. And I wonder if they were like, we've got to get an Eiffel Tower shot in there because it's so romantic.
Yeah, it made a lot. It wouldn't shock me if the Paris date was not part of this like itinerary as they're planning mm-hmm. out and mapping out the season. Mm-hmm. But like creatively, we're just like, hey, well, if we grab two guys, we can make grab a couple audio men mm-hmm. and a couple cameramen. We'll get a date. We'll get two dates out of it.
Yeah.
And I think it was awesome. It was a really cool date.
Yeah.
And then when Gabby at the end of the day got teared up, I think Gabby 100% is playing her cards close to the vest. I don't know if it's like this has to do with like her relationship with her mom and her, maybe there's some trust issues. So she's like very reserved, but like clearly she gave her first impression rose under different contexts than Gabby did. Like Mario's just hanging on for dear life. Mm-hmm. So like that, you know, he's rivaling what's his name who got his first impression rose from Tayshia back in the day. I forgot his name. That's kind of the point. Really good looking guy. Seemed like he's gonna
be a front
runner.
Wait, look at them both. Okay.
It doesn't even matter.
You said they're like, oh, and we're gonna read Spencer.
Spencer, yeah. Like he was notorious for falling. Like Mario is rivaling.
Mario was mm-hmm. sweating at that rose ceremony. Oh, and Tino already had one on his chest.
Hanging out for your life. Yeah. But like, whatever. Like, and so I don't think Mario was ever like her front runner. I think she gave it to Mario for different reasons than Rachel. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no one says you have to give the person who's your absolute favorite. It's just mm-hmm. like your first impression. You get to decide, the lead gets to decide what that first impression means. It's truly up to them. And with Gabby, like when she got choked up, it reminded me of when I got choked up on my date with Vanessa, because there's a fear that all leads have of like, am I gonna like anyone? Am I gonna find someone? Now you add that with Rachel, in this like natural competition, even though they're not competing against each other, both met, like the Bachelor and Bachelorettes both have a lot of pressure, and it's different pressure. And the Bachelorettes, I feel like I have a heightened sense of pressure of like, well, to get engaged, they have to be proposed to, mm-hmm. right? It's, you know, there's still that element of like, someone has to ask me. I mean, you know, we've now had Becca Kufrin like propose to Thomas, and that's great. But like traditionally, so I think there's a level of pressure there. So you imagine like these two bachelorettes being like, well, what if Rachel gets proposed to, but I don't? Like, you know, a lot of things are going through their head, you know? So when she got teared up from that date with Jason, to me, it was this like, I thought Jason was my favorite. I was very attracted to him. He's very quiet. So now I have questions. Mm-hmm. So I want to give him a date. The date went awesome. I'm going to like that feeling of that I had with Vanessa was very much like, I was very nervous. I didn't feel like I was connecting with a lot of people. Vanessa was my favorite. She got an early date. It went amazing. And from that moment forward, I felt like just sense that those tears were like just sense of relief. Mm-hmm. And that's what I saw in Gabby. I don't know if those tears, that's what I saw. I don't know if that's what it is, but like, I was just like, oh, she's going to, now I think she's going to pick the guy.
Right. I also think it's like, when we talk about people who are there for the right reasons, Jason strikes me as the one who's the epitome of like, how are you on this show in terms of, you do not seem like someone who wants to be on TV. He seems like the exact kind of person who seems really genuine.
Yeah. He definitely came on for, I think, different reasons. And those reasons I think are more in line to why people used to come on, which was, this could be a cool experience. Mm-hmm. Someone signed me up as a gag. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, like I might be out of my comfort zone, but like I want to challenge myself to try something new. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know if, yeah, I don't think Jason came on. And like for a lot of people, I think this has become a business of like just pretending to like want to find love and it's all about the followers and all that shit. But yeah, I think Jason might be an outlier in terms of he's really there for the experience and open to seeing what happens. And I was way off. I'm happy I was. He seems like he's very charming.
Yeah.
Incredibly good looking.
And I love how to get back to Gabby and the tears. Also, I mean, my heart breaks for her when she's discussing her relationship or lack thereof with her mom. And you can tell, like, just like in the real world, everybody has issues within themselves and hangups that they're a little scared to reveal when they're dating. And you can tell that she really thinks that this might be a deal breaker for someone, or that this is a hurdle for her to have to get over in terms of telling someone. And that takes a lot. And every time that she has to talk about that, I mean, you can't imagine, like, not having a relationship with your mom. I'm sure a lot of people who are watching the show have that. I have such a close relationship with my mom. So for her to have to tell this over and over and over again must be, I can't even imagine. Awesome. And then she tells him, and you could tell she's so scared to reveal this about herself, not just scared to reveal it about herself, but she has to deal with it every time she talks about it. And then not only does he understand, but then he kind of talks about his understanding with therapy. And you wouldn't think that from looking at him, which we shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but I feel like she, she was probably so relieved. And then I loved how she's like, I love a man who understands therapy. Yeah. Like, well, I loved that
I remember
moment.
When she like posed the question the same way she did with Eric, and I was watching with Natalie, and I was like, well, let's see if he could do a better job than Eric did. Because like, again, Eric, he lacked, I think, at least the emotional maturity to be there for Gabby. It doesn't make him a bad guy. Maybe he has some growing up to, but like, it was clear when Jason mentioned that he's been through therapy that he was more emotionally prepared to like handle like the awkwardness or the emotional stress of like that came with like that heavy story that Gabby has, where she was looking for
like empathy, not sympathy.
Yeah, she was looking for empathy. She was looking for like just comfort and looking for someone she wanted to see someone who I could maybe date, that I can go to with my problems and will not make me feel judged, but like will be empathetic and I can count on, and I won't be scared to tell him things because I don't want to feel judged. I don't want to feel weird. I don't want to feel like, you know, Eric, I don't think he tried to, but when he kind of had the like, I don't know what to say. And when you don't know what to say, that makes the other person sharing that information be like, well, am I that weird? Mm-hmm. I'm exactly what I was worrying that I was, is like this, like someone that no one can relate to. Mm-hmm. And Jason did quite the opposite, which is like, hey, man, fuck, man, I'm in therapy.
Like, let me talk about my issues too.
I'm a mess, you know?
And I agree with you, Nick. Like, Eric, by no means, not a bad person. But when he was just sitting there with no response, I was waiting and waiting. And then the scene cut and I was like, oh, no. Like, say something to make her feel seen and heard. And you don't have to relate to it, but just to make her feel like it's okay.
Yeah.
So then I was so happy to see Jason's response.
Because that's the thing is, like, I feel like you can be in a situation where you know that someone is doing their best and they might not have the perfect words to say, but there's just this, like, energy and intensity, like, especially in someone's eyes where you know that they're trying their very hardest. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when people don't know what to say and get more in their head and are kind of, like, play it a little bit more quiet, it just comes off as, like, making you feel more isolated in an already, like, emotionally isolating situation. Yeah.
So we all agree that, like, if it's not Jason and Tino at the end, we're surprised?
Well,
like,
Nate, was this Nate, a show? Nate continues to have strong showings.
Mm-hmm. He does, you think the but kid. There's just something I think I'm getting. I mean, to be honest, I feel like right now, if you had to make me pick, like, the next Bachelor, like, Nate's the only choice.
For sure.
And maybe that's just because we haven't seen a lot of character development from some of these other guys.
Like, Hayden gets a redemption. Nate,
I mean, we've seen a lot of Nate, and it's been a lot. It's all been great. And like, obviously being a father is a great storyline for a future Bachelor. I feel like Gabby likes him and respects him and feels good when he's around. Like, I don't know. I'm not sold on the connection.
Mm-hmm. So first of all, love Nate as Bachelor. I'm here for that. I'm not 100% convinced that Gabby ends up with Jason. I love them together.
Yeah, I mean,
but I'm not sure yet. But Tino, yes. Like, if he is not at the end, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, and I do think Gabby plays her cards close to the vest, and where Rachel's, what you see is what you, Rachel obviously is very giving with how she feels, and for the audience to watch. Mm-hmm. And I think Gabby's a little, you know, every time Gabby's like, yeah, you know, when Gabby says, yeah, she's thinking about how she really feels about it and just trying to be courteous and polite to that response. But she's always, I think, processing.
Right.
And she's very reserved. And then, like, I don't think she'll share her thoughts later on or something like that.
Right.
And Rachel, I think, is more the opposite.
Yes.
And really, that's my read.
I agree. And I think that's spot on to say that Gabby is quite literally thinking about it and processing as she's speaking on camera, where I think Rachel is more quick to come to a reaction and she just lets it all out. But I do have to say, I'm so impressed with both of these women. Just as you said, I think they really are there for each other. I think they're very close friends. I don't like this format. I don't think it's fair to them. But I will say, I don't think the intention was bad. When I interviewed Gabby and Rachel at the beginning of the season, we spoke about it. And they've said this a million times. They're like, no catfights, but there is a lot of drama. But something they said to me that really made a lot of sense was, it actually wouldn't have felt right in the moment to choose just one of them. Because after what happened with Clayton, they both were mortified and humiliated and heartbroken on national TV. So they said to me, to just choose Gabby or just choose Rachel, it would have felt like, but what about me? Like, we both went through the same thing.
Yeah, so that's a good point.
Yeah, so I think that the suits, whatever we want to call them, I think that was probably part of the decision. Also, of course, they're trying to continuously evolve this franchise. So I think they're saying, okay, this is a different twist, but also they both do deserve a second chance. I'm going to guess, if I am an exec watching this, I'm saying probably won't do this again, at least anytime soon, because I think it just creates a competitive dynamic. And I really don't think there was malintent. So I think that people who are saying they did this to pit women against each other, I don't believe that. I think that they thought it's good for a programming change and they both deserve a second chance. But seeing this play out, it gives too much power to the men.
Yeah.
And I don't like it.
Because, and then if you have a bunch of guys scared about their edit and very bro-y and not willing, you know, if you don't, like, cast a Chad Johnson or some of these, like a Luke Parker, you know, they're going to get their drama somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's so easy, whether they're even trying to do it or not. Mm-hmm. Like Rachel, there's a great segue into, like, Rachel's reaction to Gabby's group date with the fight. I don't know if anyone did anything wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I know, like, you saw the reaction from the men after Gabby, like, said, hey, no one came up to me. And you saw a bunch of, like, what I took as genuine, like, disappointment in them. They were like, you know what? Yeah, I could have. I should have. Like, mm-hmm. they realized I've been in their shoes. And I know what it's like to be really nervous of being like, I don't know. It's a group date. I don't. Do I go up and talk to her? You know, if you're Tino and you're a front runner, you don't want to overplay your hand having just got a one-on-one. So maybe you want to back off. And if you're one of the guys who like barely even fucking knows Rachel mm-hmm. because you haven't had any time and you're like, this chick doesn't like me, mm-hmm. you know, like then you're just a little awkward too. And like you're just afraid of pissing off everyone around you. So you play it safe. Like mm-hmm. that's always happened mm-hmm. in the house because you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like, you know, they say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Well, the road to like a villainous edit is also oftentimes paved with good intentions. Like mm-hmm. you can have the best intentions sometimes and get fucked if they have no other options because you're assertive and you go for what you want and you want to make your bachelorette feel like you've noticed her and you see her. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, other guys would be like, it's not very gentlemanly of you, bro. You know, yeah. And you play some villainous music and they get fucked. So I get the guys, but I also get Rachel, you know, being like, the fuck? All these guys are like spewing all these nice mm-hmm. things about, you know, about Gabby. You know what this season has like reminded me of? And like, while I think it sucks in a lot of ways for Gabby and Rachel, mm-hmm. as we've talked about, I think it's like it's a microcosm of modern dating. And like being on dating apps. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is like, here you have Rachel. We all agree that Tino's her front runner. She's probably going to pick him. And when she's with Tino, it's great. Mm-hmm. But by default, you have all these other guys where she's been told the expectation of the bachelorette is, and Rachel said this, is like, these guys are supposed to be like obsessed with me, basically, mm-hmm. like fighting for me. And they're not. So she has this expectation of what she thinks should happen. And even though the expectation really is irrelevant to her overall like happiness, mm-hmm. especially if she's able to find one, like it just bothers you. And when you're on dating apps and you like have access to all these people and you're swiping right, every time you swipe right and it doesn't match, there is rejection there mm-hmm. every time you're on there. And if it doesn't matter if you like swipe with some guy you're like, you like their body, you think they're pretty cute, mm-hmm. there might be one more guy who you like, ooh, or a girl if you're a guy, same thing, right? And there's just like, by definition, rejection in that, like them not matching mm-hmm. you. And so you see Rachel focusing on the attention she's not getting rather than the attention she's receiving, and the fact mm-hmm. that it's being compared, like both Gabby and Rachel, every situation they're in are focusing on the attention the other one's receiving from their men versus the attention they're not receiving from theirs. Mm-hmm. And I think it just kind of speaks to like why people, like in the real world out there dating, why so many people feel frustrated, because it's just like, it's so easy to get in our heads about like things not working out for us, because mm-hmm. to date, you have to be willing to get rejected. You have to put yourself out there, you know, and you have all this access, this easy access of people who like should be swiping right on you,
right,
but aren't. And like, again, like this date, these guys were all like upset with themselves. And then like, you can compare it to like modern dating apps. Well, you don't know if this person you wish they would have swiped right was even on their phone. Maybe they haven't been on Bumble mm-hmm. for 6 months, but like, you don't know that. You're right. Always thinking of the worst case scenario as it relates to like your ego and mm-hmm. your feelings. And I think that's what you're seeing with Gabby and Rachel. It's fascinating, but yeah. I empathize with the women because it's like, it's so hard to be the lead. And this is making it that much harder because you want to be able to believe in yourself. And it's this environment is making it really easy for Gabby and Rachel to doubt themselves.
Totally. And something, well, first of all, another point that I think makes it similar to modern dating and dating apps is when Rachel was so upset, part of me was like, oh my gosh, poor Tino. Like, they just went on this great date. Yeah. And I'm like, what about him? But then, first of all, as the lead, you're told, you know, don't pull a Claire. Like, don't just go to one person. Sure. Keep your options open. And then if you think of modern dating with dating apps, the pool is wide. And you do want to keep your options open. So I think that's one thing. But something with the format that I actually do like, I spoke about what I don't like, and I think also pretty much all the drama other than really Hayden, if you think about every single piece of drama, it would have been eliminated had there only been one lead. It all has to do,
it's all based off of two leads,
right? And I think that is a distraction, because if the point of the show, yes, is of course you're creating a TV show, you want to entertain, but if the point for the lead is to find love, this is all a distraction and they're dealing with things that they shouldn't have to. That said, first of all, we'll see what happens. If they both find love, great. In the real world, and this is what I like about the format, in the real world, you aren't just one person with 30 men who have no other options. Mm-hmm. So with this, in a way, maybe it makes it a bit more realistic because all usually you have 30 men, right? And they have one woman. And they're basically being told, I have to be obsessed with this woman. And then the point is to win. And it becomes a bit more of a game and a bit more of a reality show. But I guarantee you that on a normal season, all 30 people are not into the lead. They're pretending because correct, that's the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now it makes it a little bit more realistic that they're able to say, well, I might like this person more.
And even if they're not pretending, they're just the environment has convinced them that they're in, like, it's just competitive.
Like, there's no other option.
Yeah.
It's like, you're in this microcosm, you're in this bubble, there's one person and you want to win.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I think it's a bit more realistic to the real world, but they're... Look, it gives us a lot to talk about, so it's certainly interesting. But I do, when Rachel said in her confessional that this was harder and worse for her than being a contestant, that
I believed her.
I believed 100%.
It is
harder. To me, I was like, ugh, like that's when you're going to be the lead, you don't think that that will be your experience.
You don't. But I think everyone feels that way just because it is so hard. And I think it's extra hard for them. Because now, at a minimum, usually if you're the lead, there's a sense of like, well, this I'm the it person. I have the power, and I think what you're seeing is these women constantly recognizing they don't feel powerful in their role as the bachelorettes. Now, whether that's the producers like leaning in, or they're just like the environment has like leads to them like constantly doubting themselves. You know, I don't know, but that seems to be what's going on.
Yeah. And I do think, again, it's just the format. It just lends itself to all these problems. But I have a good feeling. Like, I feel like this season is going to pan out in a good way for both of them.
I think they haven't they publicly both stated? Because, like, every season, you're either sometimes allowed to say it. Sometimes I wasn't allowed to say it. Sometimes they give you permission to say, I found love. You'll have to find out with who. And it seems like they both publicly have been allowed to state that they found love, which probably is a smart move on the powers that be to say, whatever.
Don't worry, don't be stressed.
Yeah. Right. There's a happy ending.
Right. They also, when I interviewed them, they also said that they really couldn't imagine doing this without each other because just having a friend, again, is more like the real world. Like, think about dating. You're always asking your friends, what do you think about this person? What do you think about this? And I thought a moment, it was such a small moment, but I actually loved it. When they were on the Paris date.
I know what you're going to say. Okay, the bathroom?
When they were both inside and they were looking outside.
Oh, yeah. Okay. When Rachel's like, do you have to go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
And then they just went inside. Yeah.
And then they're like looking and they're snickering. And you could, that was like two girls that are together looking and you're like, look how cute they are. What do you think they're talking about? And I like loved that moment.
Oh, so. I was envious of them in that moment to like have that companionship. Even if it was like me and Ben, it would have been nice to just been like, hey, what do you think?
Right.
Yeah. Like you definitely feel alone. It's not this, you know, but I think there's pros and cons.
Yeah. And that's why I think, as I said, this is not my favorite format. I think that the problems that they're going up against, it's a lot of unnecessary drama. That said, I do think that there are some points that really make it relate more to the real world. So that's why I said, like, if I'm in charge of The Bachelor, I'm probably looking at this saying, like, probably won't do this next season. However, like, an interesting try.
Would you want to see it with two men?
Yes. I think it needs to be done with two men because I don't think it's fair just to, optics, it's bad if it's just women.
Correct.
So I do think that they should do it with two men. So yes, I think that maybe they will try it again, but I think that this was a try. It was a good try. I think that it came from a good place, both to give them both another chance and to change up the format. But I just think there's a lot of icky territory that comes up. But yes, I'm here for double Bachelor season.
Yeah. Well, I was way off on Jason. I think I nailed the Logan of it all.
Yeah. Him accepting the rose.
I said the last two weeks that I think Logan's going to try to jump ship.
Okay.
And switch.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it'd be this early. Right. But I want to hate Logan. But objectively, I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't think he's doing anything wrong.
Well, I was going to say, I'm going to have an unpopular opinion. I think, given the format, that I don't hate him, because I think it's not, in certain times, it's not only unfair to the women, it's also unfair to the men, because you have him here. He, if there was only one lead, he only has one choice, and then you're doing everything to try to end up with that woman. But the men have given, they've been given two options. So again, in the real world, you date multiple people so that you can find the one that you think you might be the best match for. Yeah. So,
and it is about finding love.
Right.
And these women essentially called dibs on mm-hmm. these men. You can criticize Logan for accepting it, mm-hmm. but I agree with you.
But also, okay, let's play this out, because I thought about this a lot. The state that Rachel is in, disappointment after disappointment after disappointment, this amazing date with Tina, which is such a bright spot. And again, I think we all agree here, they'll probably end up together. But she said herself, like, it's just rejection after rejection. And I think on that group date with the boxing, when she had this meltdown, it's because it's just too much. Like, she's hitting her breaking point. It's too much happening. Imagine if Logan up there said, no, I can't accept this because I like Gabby. Yeah. That would have been horrifying. So I hope that the way in which it's dealt is that he tells the producers, he tells whoever, like, I feel horrible. I accepted this rose. I didn't know what to do because I didn't want to say no up there on the spot. How do I deal with this?
And Rachel specifically said last week, the thing, part of the reason why she felt so embarrassed, and she said this like to Gabby, is like they were kind of having a debate, like what's more embarrassing, what's worse. And Rachel pointed out that I got rejected in front of all these mm-hmm, men, mm-hmm. like center stage. So like you said, maybe Logan was considering that. Like, he definitely looked like a guy who knew what he wanted to do but didn't know how he should go about it. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like he recognized, like, this is going to require some tact and some thoughtfulness, and I don't have an answer. Mm-hmm. Also, however he handles it, right or wrong, if he pulls like a Hayden, I'm going to criticize him. But in a world where, especially nowadays, there's a lot of disingenuous people going on and just being like, whatever, just, I'm here, like, I'm whatever, just tell me who to like, I'll like them, I'll play. But like, Logan must know, he's like, this is a risky proposition. Mm-hmm. It is not the safe play. There are more ways it could go wrong for him than right. Mm-hmm. And like, if you're Logan and you're just like, you know, I'm not either of their favorites, but like, whatever. He is trying to make this as genuine as possible mm-hmm. for him. And a show that's about love. And so, like, he's being authentic. Mm-hmm. We don't know how he's going to handle it mm-hmm. and what he's going to say. But I think you're on the same page. It's like, I want to dislike him. Because I'm just annoyed. Maybe mm-hmm. by his, like, face or, like, his body language. Like, you could tell, like, when he was, like, you could tell he's in his head. And it kind of comes across as a little dickish and aloof. When he was like saying goodbye, like Rachel saying goodbye to all these men. And like, if you focused on Logan, he just kind of has a bit of a sour energy to him. But like, that sour energy could just be like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to root for him because I just don't see a way that it could go well. Because I feel like there's a zero chance Gabby can, even if Gabby was like, yeah, I had really felt a spark with you. And like, in whatever conversation Rachel and I had where we were deciding who we were giving roses to, like, Rachel kind of threw your name out there first, and like, I wasn't going to fight her on it. I have people I feel stronger about, but like, there's no way Gabby can like act on this potential connection yeah. without it being a huge betrayal to her friend.
I'm definitely yeah. not rooting for Logan, yeah. but I'm just saying, no, my gut wants to like criticize him and be like, oh, you this is wrong. You can't do this. And like, when I objectively look at it, it's like, I don't think he's doing yeah. anything wrong.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think I agree with both of you, because I don't think there's a way in which he can continue for all the reasons you just said. But I feel like he's a casualty of this format. Like, he didn't make up his mind early enough on which woman he wanted to be with. And now he's realizing that he might have a change of heart, which is a natural, normal thing, again, if you're on the dating apps. And I think that now Gabby probably can't go with him because it's a betrayal to her friend. Also won't want to. But I think he goes home next week, but hopefully he deals with it in a good way.
I weirdly think she's going to keep him.
Oh, you do?
I don't know why. Gabby. And I think the safe pick mm-hmm. is what you're saying.
Right.
I think if she keeps him, I think he's good TV. And I think he is willing to follow his heart, even if it's not the smart choice. I think that is a valuable, that is something that is valued in that atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And I think it wouldn't shock me, regardless of why he is kept mm-hmm. and for what reasons, I have a feeling he'll stay for at least a couple weeks, and he'll do it in a way that isn't perceived as all that dickish, mm-hmm. but maybe controversial. Clearly, like, while I don't know if the producers are all to blame for pitting these women against each other, I don't think they're, like, it's their biggest priority not to have these women feel insecure. Mm-hmm. Like, historically, like, having a bachelorette that expresses insecurities is something that they have always valued. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so
or
this but, leads to potential more of that.
And in all fairness, like, any lead, right? Like, you any want lead. A lead to feel...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, the most common question on this show is, how does that make you feel? Mm-hmm. I want to hear right. how that makes you feel, good mm-hmm. or bad. It's what the right. show is about.
Right.
You know, and we like people, we like watching people feeling insecure and in their feelings, invulnerable and mm-hmm. sad and a mess. And that's sadly fun for us to watch, you know?
So, okay, this is how I hope. I know I said, I think Logan goes home. I hope he goes home. Now I'm changing. I have the same intention for this. I hope that whatever happens with Logan is at the decision of Rachel and Gabby. I like how I would want to see this play out is I hope that he essentially says, look, I am more into Gabby. I didn't want to say this during such a public rose ceremony. Rachel, can we have a private conversation? I don't think Rachel's really into him anyway. So then maybe Rachel says something like, thank you for doing this. You really dealt with this in a mature way. And yeah, if Gabby wants to keep you, I'm fine with it. And if the girls make up that decision on their own, then I don't think it's going
to happen next episode, though, because the guys have laid this groundwork saying, let's have a good week. Like, they had that, like, team meeting where they were like, do not do anything out of line.
That happens every week. Every week. Yeah. It's like in Bachelor, every week there's, you know, every week.
Ends with
a cocktail ceremony, and cocktail ceremonies are just meant for drama. Mm-hmm. And so every time the drama happens, all the guys are just like, let's just have a good week, guys. Yeah. Let's just have a good exactly. week. Like, it happens every week. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's not totally in their control.
If he stays another week and does not fess up to any of this, then I hate him. Then we put him on my shit list, and then he goes into our villain category.
I hope Rachel handles it the way that you as well. I guess it's up to Rachel.
Right.
Like, I hope she focuses on what she has mm-hmm. and not what she doesn't have. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. I don't see much of a connection between her mm-hmm. and Logan. I think she staked her claim with Logan in a moment, in a different moment, she was feeling mm-hmm. a little insecure. She got a nice makeout from a guy who was mm-hmm. easy to talk to, mm-hmm. and that made her feel good. Yeah. But I think as time went on, she's realized there's not much there with Logan. And I hope, for the same reason, that she doesn't see it as rejection, but more just like, you know what? Thanks for being up front. Mm-hmm. I got my stuff going on. I'm really happy with the guys I'm making connections with. Mm-hmm. I got Avon. I got Tino. That's the thing. Rachel's got, to me, Rachel's top four for Rachel is stronger than Gabby's top four mm-hmm. for Gabby as we stand now from what we see. The connections, like
Aiden, Tyler, Tino.
Because
Tyler,
you love Tyler.
Okay, I'm
Zach,
over it.
I love Aiden too.
They had that great one-on-one.
But I will say Tyler had a nice.
I think he has Ben Higgins energy.
Yeah, listen, you were more right about Tyler this episode than I was. Yeah.
I called him as like someone who was getting no attention at first.
But Avon, Tino and Zach, those seems like three like decent connections, mm-hmm. and you got some potential with Tyler, and then with Gabby, we think now Jason because we saw a good date mm-hmm. before this episode with Gabby. It's like I guess Eric's her front runner. Nate. I get Nate, mm-hmm. but like I just
you don't believe her in Nate.
I don't know I why don't. Because yeah, I thought do. Nate's. I think. To the thing that Nate said when it was his turn pre-boxing, where he said, I noticed the way you look off when you're thinking, like when he pointed out these very specific tangible mannerisms, I thought that was like the epitome of thoughtfulness in this environment.
I think Nate is pitching a perfect game. And I think he's doing all the right things. And he's incredibly good looking and he's charming. He's all those things. And that is what is like, it's what's not to like.
Who did you said that for someone. I'm trying to remember who you said that for someone else. You said they were pitching a perfect game, but I'm trying to remember who it was.
For a different reason. I said that before. Yeah. But like,
on this season?
No, it was a different season.
Context. It was Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
It was on Katie's season. Andrew like, it was Rose. Just like everything that came out of his mouth. I'm like, God, beautiful. Like, perfect.
Nailing it.
Awesome. You know, but like Andrew and Katie, it's just like, I don't know if I'm seeing the connection. And what I think I'm seeing, I could be wrong. I was way off on Jason. I'm seeing a guy who's easy to connect with. What's not to like? Keep in mind, Gabby and Rachel are still figuring this out too. So why wouldn't you be drawn to a guy like Nate who's making you feel good and making you feel confident and like brings you up when you're down? But like, as we talked about last week in that episode, like what makes a relationship, like a lot of part what makes a connection and people like is that like the uncertainty, you know, I think Nate is like getting her through this. And then I think she's building a connection with Nate through like the role he's playing. But I, for whatever reason, I am just doubting the genuine like connection of like Gabby's, you know, and him together forever.
Like a deeper connection.
Yeah, I could be, like she might end up with Nate. I don't fucking know.
I wonder if we'll see her wrestle more with the idea of motherhood with him. Because I remember on their one-on-one, she said, I'm going to have to think through if I'm willing to like step into that role, but I don't have to decide that now. I'm wondering if the season continues, if she'll really like hem and haw over that.
But I guess what I was saying is this, like I'm seeing stronger, and maybe it's because Gabby plays her cards closer to the vest, and with Rachel, she's like, I like this guy. So you see who Rachel likes easier, but it seems like she has a strong top four. Mm-hmm. So I hope for Rachel, that's what she starts focusing on, is that like, I have three to four guys that like, I'm really excited about. I have some strong connections. I don't really care if Logan doesn't look at me or if Logan likes Gabby, et cetera, et cetera. Like we're 4 weeks away from hometowns. I'm going to focus on these strong connections that I have and try to build those.
Right.
That's what I hope for.
Yeah, I agree. And I think to your point, nobody likes to be rejected. And I think that's easier to it's easier to focus on the bad than the good sometimes. Yeah. And we have to all do a lot of self-work to focus on the good. And I hope that for Rachel's sake, she does. But also, again, a lot of these things wouldn't come up had there not been two bachelorettes. Totally. So, and again, also for Logan. So I think, I feel like I hope that Rachel doesn't get too upset about it. And I hope maybe she says, okay, I respect that. Thank you. And, you know, I'm too far along. This isn't going to work. And then if Gabby wants you, sure. And then Gabby might say the same thing. Like, I don't know. I'm too far along.
I wonder if they're going to deploy like a visit, like a cheer up visit. Like, you know how sometimes when the Bachelorette is really going through it or the Bachelor is really going through it, they have a contestant.
It might be harder to have a sneaky little meeting. They got to fly them out to a boat. Right. In the middle of Europe, it might be harder.
But like even just having like Tina like visit Rachel's area.
Oh, yeah. Listen, like this show is all about like managing tension. Mm-hmm. You know, you push them to the limits. And when you feel like maybe you've gone too far, yes. However you do it, you try to like bring them back. This show is all about ups and downs. I mean, that's life. And they're trying to like replicate like stakes, just like any movie or TV show. Like they did sign up for being fucked with emotionally, that the environment itself is like, it's not, it's fucking weird. It's a group date. Yeah. Like, fuck.
And that's something that I feel like with all the criticism for any season, we all do need to remember, if you're on this show, you signed up for a TV show. And yes, you're in it because hopefully you want to find love. But you did go on a TV show. Nothing's so some free. Of this you did sign up for.
Nothing. Yes. Nothing's free.
Oh, I have a question for you, Nick. What do you think about showing behind the scenes with the men at the rose ceremony? I feel like that's new.
Yeah, this whole like guys. Well, what's new is like they don't make in the past.
They don't go back to the line.
They're all standing. Mm-hmm. Like you'd have the guys with roses like off to the side, but they'd be in the group. But now they have them like
go to the green room.
They literally.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah,
I like the commentary.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's interesting because it's also, I think, very insightful to see when they speculate, the guys speculate about who's coming out and they were like, Logan, it's got to be Logan. Because it's like, it's cool to have that barometer for like, what is the house's perception of
who is a ringer. I think it's, I love that word. I think it's interesting. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually had one question that I was thinking about, which is like, what is the wisdom on leads initiating kisses versus contestants, because I think in sort of like the gendered expectation of like men maybe being more in like generally in culture expected to initiate intimacy, but then you have like the Bachelorette are the ones in this position of power. And I feel like I've just noticed a lot this season, like Gabby and Rachel were leaning in, and I was curious if that's something that you think is pretty typical where they like,
I don't know, when I was the Bachelor, the women were often the initiators. I think part of it is just like, I just was tired, and I just like, I don't want to kiss a 14th person tonight. But like, I was the only Bachelor to them. Like, you know, for them, it was like, I've been waiting all night to talk to you. And I'm just like, okay. So there's a little fatigue there. I don't know if I really noticed. I think my guess is the contestants often are more the initiators, except with their favorites. Like, I think if you see the leads leaning in, I haven't been paying that close attention to it, so I don't know. But like, it wouldn't shock me if like Rachel's excited. Like when Rachel sees Tino, it's like, trust me, she's been like waiting for this for like days. Like all she's really wanted to do is hang out with Tino. If that's her favorite, that's usually what happens.
One thing that I noticed about Tino was how carefully he was holding the umbrella over Rachel. Like he was with his goddamn life protecting like that woman's clothing and hair from getting wet. And it struck me as like, oh, one of the reasons that it seems like they're such a good match is because I think for Rachel, that stuff matters a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Where like, I think if she felt like she was like, and he wasn't even holding the umbrella, like, you know, like feeling noticed in certain ways.
Hayden would have been like, get your own.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that
he's
goes
like, this
to-
is just not practical. We need to.
Yeah. He'd be like, you know how it like drips off the edges? He'd be like holding it. So that was like right over her head.
Yeah. But I think that goes to show what type of guy Tino is and how emotionally aware he is. Yeah. To bring this full circle. You know, Nick was saying when he didn't assume that she would want children, even though by society standards, that typically is the assumption. So I just feel like he's very emotionally aware. Yeah. And he always is looking out for the woman. For he was raised right. That's all we have to say. Yeah. Tino's a good egg.
Yeah. He is a good egg.
He's like just
and
a
I
good
didn't
want
to like him for some reason. Mm. Or like, not I didn't want to like him, but I was just like, I was like, okay, very seems very perfect, which
has,
I feel like is like a setup for feeling
some,
disappointed.
Like,
but he's a good egg.
Similar facial characteristics to Tyler Cameron.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did actually notice that.
They just have model faces.
Look the same,
they don't look the
but
same,
they definitely
but like,
have similar like structure.
Aww. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to blow all of your minds. So I always, while I'm watching, I always, especially at the beginning, I always stalk on Instagram. I'm like, oh, I want to like see what this person's about when I become more invested. So yesterday I was stalking both Tino and Jason. Tino used to have very long hair. This is like in recent memory, like down to here, shaggy hair. And I think
can I see this picture?
I think it's going to change your perception, but like in an even better way, because he seems very, like you said, almost Tyler Cameron-y. I didn't get that, but very like model-esque and perfect.
Oh my God. Wow. And
right?
He's like a surfer.
Yeah. Like it's a lot, like there's a different side of him.
It's gorgeous.
It's a beautiful man.
Jesus.
I'm like, man's in Venice.
And he works with Ronald
McDonald. He looks like
McDonald.
A Hemsworth brother. He literally looks like a Hemsworth brother in that photo.
Yeah, you're right. He does, like, Jason Momoa, kind of.
How is he not getting more, like he does, you know, like the hype that Peter from Rachel's season got or Tyler got, like, kind of, like, just true, like, babe hype? Uh-huh. Why isn't Tino getting more babe hype?
He also, he does a lot of, appears to do a lot of charity work with Camp Ronald McDonald with children. Like, he seems like a really good guy. I found this all out last night, and I was like, oh my God, I like him even more.
Oh, yeah. Tino. Oh. Tino.
And Jason's very surfery and outdoorsy, which I liked because sometimes the investment banker aura can give you,
stuffy.
You kind of think they're a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
But he's like very outdoorsy, and I don't know. I liked what I found.
Like
when
Santa Monica
of
it all.
No,
like
he
seems like a beach boy.
Exactly.
I did a 180 on Jason. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, Spencer. Spencer's I think. All right. Well, let's wrap it up. Give me your top fours for each of the.
Oh my God, top four.
But,
I mean, with Rachel, I'm just going full Tino. Like, I don't even
You're
think I could do more. Like,
okay.
Tino.
Well, because you see them together. And actually, Nick, not to embarrass you, but I remember during your season, and I wish I remembered which woman it was because I was probably wrong, but I remember watching it at my aunt and uncle's house. And my aunt was like, see, that chemistry, you just believe it. Like, she likes him. And it was you. You were making out with someone. I forget what scene. But that's the energy that I get. When yeah. Tino and Rachel make out, I'm like, that is a different kiss. For it's sure. not a fun kiss. It's oh. not enjoyable. Like, she is very into it.
Oh, yeah.
Gabby, I'm not going to give you a top four, but a top two. I think Jason and Nate. I still really like Nate. I think it is more. I think I'm giving him more than what you're giving him, Nick. Like, I don't think it's just fun. I think she actually really likes him and how he makes her feel.
We'll see. Yeah. I mean, I definitely could be wrong. Yeah. I've been wrong as much as I've been right so far this season. I just want to say props to Quincy. You've changed my, at least adjusted my perception on anyone who is a life coach on this show. I quite liked Quincy.
I know some life coaches IRL and they're lovely people. I feel like it's easy to get a bad rap.
Yeah.
But I liked when
because of the Carls of the world.
The Carls yes, of the world. Carls.
And the fuck and what's his name from earlier this season? Yeah, the mentality
yeah. coach. But Quincy, he was one of the good ones. So sad to see him go.
During his ITM when he was like, "Do I want a date with Gabriella?" Wee.
Yeah. Like really, really loved Quincy. I hope to see him on Paradise.
Yeah, he yeah. looked so genuinely sad when he didn't. I want to see him on Paradise too.
Yeah.
And you know who I don't want to see on Paradise is Hayden. I'm sure he will be, but I do not want to see him.
Put him away.
Yeah, I don't think there's a redemption arc there.
Hayden and
Janae. Other than Nate, do you have any potential like bachelor hopefuls?
Oh, that's a great question. Let's go through.
And, like, I just think like Nate's when you consider that Tino is going to be with Rachel. No, Jason.
Yeah, not, Jason would be too, not such a dynamic
but like,
lead.
Other than Nate, I feel like, you know.
I mean,
it's also way too early, but.
Yeah, it's a little early, but Nate would be a fantastic bachelor.
He seems like he has all the.
He's also just like really emotionally intelligent, and it seems like
age appropriate.
And the way that he not only says things that are like so thoughtful and genuine to Gabby, but I feel like within the house, the way he reacts to the way people talk, like it doesn't feel like he's trying to put on the show of being a good guy. It just feels like he lives life with high character and integrity.
There was a moment where Hayden was talking to Nate, and he was trying to explain himself, and Nate was just like, "Nah, mm-hmm.
yeah,
yeah, like, no, no, like, no, no, nah. no, 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 yeah,
yeah." You know, something that I do hope we see soon, and sorry, we gave Meatball a lot of love, or shall we call him James? But I think at this point, like, he's probably just, like, there to be there. Like, I don't see either of these women being into him. I think that he was there to be the savior, and now he's kind of in the friend zone. Like, I think they both respect him.
They'll give him a couple weeks, and then when it's, like, too weird to keep him around.
I feel like he's a potential paradise.
Oh, I was going to say, he'd be great on Paradise.
Made for Paradise. Meatball.
Meatball. Yeah. Meatball. With a name like Meatball. Yeah.
He'll be great, and I really do think he's a good guy, and I hope that he finds love on Paradise, but, like, he's got to go now. Like, they're not into him.
You can see the Paradise, like, opening credits of, like, Meatball with a huge sub, like, jumping it on himself in the beach. Yeah. Like, it's written already.
Yes.
Well, Elizabeth, as always, such a pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Please let my audience know where they can follow you, watch your stuff, all that.
Yes.
Great stuff.
So Variety, obviously, magazine comes out every week, variety.com at all times. And then my socials are ewagmeister on all platforms.
All right. And then Amanda, what do we have tomorrow? Oh, tomorrow we have the one and only Holly Madison is with us for Going Deeper. Holly Madison from The Girls Next Door and the, what is it? Secrets and Lies at the Playboy Mansion.
By the way, though, she's fantastic in that, and I will give I would recommend everybody watches that. I did a lot of coverage on that docuseries, and it's very eye-opening and important to watch.
And with her, we'll be talking about JoJo Siwa and Candace Cameron Bure. We'll talk
that
a little.
That story's nuts, but anyways.
Yeah, it's been a very drawn-out saga. We've got some Neo cheating scandals and also couples last-ditch effort retreats to say, like, exorbitantly expensive retreats where couples will spend thousands of dollars
to save the relationship
usually after an affair. We'll talk about the efficacy of those.
Ooh. Well, tomorrow on Going Deeper. Thanks for listening, guys. Don't forget to send your questions at asknick@castme.com, cast with a K, for all your Ask Nick queries, questions, I don't know, submissions.
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow.
You're crazy.
Bye.